morning. 8 minutes after six, John Munson in for Joy Cardine and the Joy Cardine Show. In his recent state budget, Governor Scott Walker proposed a $250,000 study to determine the health effects of wind energy in order to inform future wind energy projects. Well, we're going to talk with an alternative energy proponent this morning who says that this is an unnecessary study on a non-existent problem. Wondering what you think. Do you have windmills near your property? What do you think of them? Do you know anyone who suffers from what is called wind turbine syndrome? Should we expand our wind energy program in Wisconsin, or is it too early to tell? All fodder for our discussion this hour. Let's bring in our guest. Michael Kraft is a professor emeritus in the Department of Public and Environmental Affairs at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Professor, welcome. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so Governor Walker's press secretary said that the reason a $250,000 wind energy health study was included in the budget was to provide the Public Service Commission with, I'm quoting from their documents now, comprehensive information to consider as they receive requests for future wind energy projects. So what information are they looking for on the health effects of wind power?
Well, there have been a number of concerns, and some of the those individuals who posted comments on your website, I think, have identified them. People, particularly in Brown County at the Shirley Wind Farm area and the town of Glenmore, have said for a number of years that they believe there are significant health issues related to wind turbines. And the Brown County Board of Public Health has indicated they believe there is some concern there. But the problem is we don't really know enough to draw firm conclusions. And there's concern, of course, as we shift away from fossil fuels to wind and solar and other renewable energy sources, that we really ought to understand the effects. And that's certainly the right way to approach it. We always ought to have information about the consequences of our energy choices. The problem here, I think, is, as I read the governor's proposal, he wants a study done, $250,000, which I know sounds like a lot to many people, but for a major scientific study, that's a small amount. He wants the report done in 1 year. We have many other reports from Canada, the state of Massachusetts, one just released the other day by Australia. Not one of them has found, reliable scientific evidence of persistent public health effects. People clearly are disturbed by wind turbines. There clearly are some legitimate concerns that need to be addressed, maybe with the siting of turbines, maybe with compensation. But finding health effects of wind power is a very difficult subject. And the one study that was done in the town of Glenmore monitored the wind farm for apparently about 4 days, did not reach sufficient conclusions, and I think that's the basis for the request. That is, people said we need a more definitive study. And I agree, a more definitive study would be useful, but those that have been done so far have come to conclusions that there are no identifiable health effects beyond people's annoyance and anxiety about wind farms. That is, they're not finding documentable health impacts. And I think it's going to be hard to do that with a one-year study of this scope.
Well, there have been a number of anecdotal reports of various effects from that are supposedly linked to wind turbines. Everything from loss of sleep to vertigo, headaches, that kind of thing. But I mean, as I was preparing for this, there's not a lot of there's not a ton of peer-reviewed information out there. Is part of that because the use of wind turbines for power generation is still a relatively young industry?
I think that's correct. I noticed that one of the commenters on the website said, well, I believe that we don't need more information. And I would say absolutely. I think we do need more information. The problem is what kind of information? So you mentioned peer-reviewed studies. That's the scientific gold standard. And this is why I think a study that is funded at this level and is requested in 1 year, quite frankly, by a governor and a legislature that have not been friendly to wind power in the state in the past. I don't think that's going to give us the kind of answers we want.
Mm-hmm.
A really thorough, proper scientific study would be valuable, but where those have been done, their findings have been that there are no identifiable health effects. That's not to say there are not some. It's just to say we cannot find them or have not found them in the studies that have been conducted to date. There's also a larger context to all of this, which, and I guess this could take us far afield, but I would just say wind power is a source of energy, and if you don't have wind power, that means you're relying on fossil fuels. And there is good scientific evidence that, for example, coal-fired power plants have serious health consequences. So if we say, is it wind or is it coal we're going to use to generate electricity, to me, the public health consequences are far less for wind than for coal. That does not relieve the concerns of people who live, of course, near wind turbines, and those concerns have to be addressed. And I hope they can be addressed through the way we site wind turbines, their size. They should be clearly kept away as far as possible from residential areas so people don't have to live within a close distance. To the extent you cannot avoid that, I think some kind of compensation to residents other than the individual whose property the turbines are put on maybe would make some difference. So I understand that people have these concerns. Some of them are very legitimate concerns. The problem is, how do we confirm this with a reliable study that can be peer-reviewed and accepted widely for the validity of the results?
Well, how do you study the effects of something like a wind turbine? What would be the process? If the governor had if the governor's office had called you and said, "Hey, Professor Kraft, we want you to do a study on the safety of wind turbines because we want the PSC to have information so that when these proposals come in, they'll have something to do." And they said, "Do whatever you need to do. We'll pay for it." What kind of study would you set up?
Well, clearly you'd have to distinguish people who – you'd have to do interviews and measure public health effects on both people who live near wind turbines and those in comparable areas who are not near turbines. My guess is you would have to do these studies over a number of years because the health effects are not necessarily going to show up in 1 year. And I'm not presenting myself as an expert on the public health effects of wind. I'm a political scientist. I'm a student of environmental policy. But what I would say is – you bring on the scientists who are capable of doing such a study. That would be public health professionals. It would be experts in wind power, people who know how to measure noise, vibration, light flicker, and the other concerns that people have raised. You'd have to do a comprehensive, multi-site, multi-year study. You'd have to have ways of documenting public health effects. You can't just ask people, "Do you think you suffered?" You'd have to measure actual health impacts. You'd have to do this both with the participants who live near wind farms and those in comparable areas who do not. You'd have to do that to separate out the health effects that can be reasonably attributed to wind turbines and those that might have other causes. So we're talking about a cause and effect relationship. Mm-hmm. And the reason people talk about peer-reviewed studies is scientists think that studies that are done properly would try to sort out. First, we'll try to measure the actual effects, and then we'll have to deal with the causes of those effects. And there are always multiple causes of public health effects. And so this is why I'm skeptical that a one-year, modestly funded study, and I don't know where the study would be conducted, whether it be in Brown County or elsewhere around the state, I just am skeptical that such a study would give us the kind of definitive results we want. And there have been other studies, quite comprehensive studies, in Canada and Australia and the state of Massachusetts. And generally, none of these studies have found a link between wind farms and increases in public health problems. That's the problem. The current literature we have says there really is not a measurable health effect. And I understand people believe that there is, and we need more studies. And I agree, but the studies have to be done right.
Dan on Facebook says, why do we need wind power when we have enough coal, oil, and natural gas to power this country for the next 1,000 years?
Two words, climate change.
Yeah.
and health effects, so four words.
Yeah.
As I said, the larger context is exactly that choice. Do people want to have coal-fired power plants with all the emissions not only carbon emissions, but pollution that is clearly linked to public health problems. Everything we know tells us about increased deaths due to pollution from coal-fired power plants. That's why some of us, I know you identified me as a renewable energy backer, and I guess I am, because I think renewable energy is the direction we need to go in for the future. We need to move away from fossil fuels, both for climate change and public health effects.
And we need to move. We need to move away from our discussion for just a couple of minutes to catch the newscast here. So we're talking about the governor's proposed research project, $250,000 to study the effects of wind power in Wisconsin. What do you think? 800-642-1234. John Munson in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about the future of wind power in Wisconsin with Michael Kraft, Professor Emeritus in the Department of Public and Environmental Affairs at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. The genesis for this discussion, Governor Walker has proposed a $250,000 study to determine the health effects of wind energy in Wisconsin. 800-642-1234 is the number to call to join our discussion with Professor Kraft. You can also send an email, talk@wpr.org. And you can find the Joy Cardine program on Facebook and Twitter. A lot of people already have. We'll get to some of those, some more of those comments in a little bit. First, Professor, wind power has been controversial in Wisconsin, and I'm wondering why. The state has already passed several measures to make it harder for turbines to be built, for example.
Yes, and that comes about for a number of reasons. Some think the fossil fuel industry has tried to, in Wisconsin and around the country, is trying to slow down the development of renewable energy for both economic and, I guess I call it, ideological reasons. So Wisconsin, as a result of the difficulty of siting, you know, whether or not we even consider the public health consequences that concern people, Wisconsin now seriously lags the Midwest in other Midwestern states in the development of wind power. Iowa in particular is heavily investing in wind power. Figures I have about $10 billion in wind power, employing 6,000 people and compensating landowners to the tune of about $16 million a year. Wisconsin also faces another challenge, and the governor has recently joined other governors in suing the U.S. EPA over its so-called clean power rules. Those are rules intended to affect existing coal-fired power plants. And the EPA has indicated to states that in order to meet the new expectations, that one solution they have, if they cannot easily close coal-fired power plants, is to further develop renewable energy. So one way Wisconsin could meet the new EPA rules is by furthering wind power. And it seems to me that's all the more reason to not give up on wind power and to reconsider siting regulations and to do a better study, I guess, than what I believe the governor is reporting, so that some of the concerns about wind power can be addressed and we can move ahead and join Iowa and Illinois and Minnesota and other states that are moving far ahead of us on wind power. I do think that's the future of energy in the United States. We have to move away from coal. Natural gas is very useful as a bridge fuel, but ultimately, for climate change and global reasons, all nations need to begin to think about how to move away from fossil fuels to other sources. We have not done nearly as much in Wisconsin as many other states have done to promote renewable energy.
Are there known downsides to wind power?
There have been for some time. Many biologists have been concerned about birds of different sizes that fly into wind turbines, particularly if the turbines are not sited properly. That is, you don't want to put wind turbines, these are very tall structures, 300 feet, some maybe as high as 400 feet. You don't want to put them in flyways for migrating birds or put them in areas where bats can be affected. Obviously, the public is concerned about something else, and that is, first of all, there's a visibility issue. These are very large structures. Most people are concerned about the noise as well as visibility. and the not just noise that is easily heard, but other low frequency noise, vibration, light flicker. So to me, the sensible thing to do is to put wind turbines pretty as far away as you can from where people will see any effects or feel any effects, but still in areas that have obviously enough wind to make it sensible to have wind turbines. Now, to my knowledge, in other parts of the state, particularly around Fond du Lac, where there are quite a few wind turbines, I don't believe these concerns have arisen. The concerns seem to be in parts of Brown County, where local residents have for some time been very concerned about the health effects and have called for different forms of siting or a ban on wind power in the state. And the legislature will have to deal with this at some point.
Joe on Facebook says, I don't think it affects anyone's health, but wind energy simply does not work like it should. It costs a lot of money, and what it puts back out is just not worth it.
Well, I guess I disagree with Joe. Currently, from the studies that I've seen, wind power is increasingly competitive with coal. And as I mentioned previously, coal obviously has many more adverse public health effects. So wind power, you know, years ago, we thought it was more expensive, but the cost has come down, just as has the cost of solar energy. So wind power is competitive, and I've already noted, I think, why we need to move away from fossil fuels and toward wind. But, you know, this is the beginning of a technological revolution as well, just as we've seen with automobiles that can now be powered with electricity via batteries. And we've seen fuel efficiency of cars come down greatly. We've seen the efficiency of solar energy drop. I'm confident that with enough emphasis on developing wind power, we can design new turbines that minimize the noise and the vibration and even the visibility issues that people complain about. And I think it's very much worth pursuing that. And if Wisconsin chooses not to, that does mean we're going to be more reliant on coal and natural gas. Previous, you know, we've already closed one nuclear plant in the state just in the last few years at Kewaunee. Nuclear power is another alternative. I'm not opposed at all to nuclear power, but we're moving away from that. And so this doesn't leave us many alternatives other than, you know, wind to generate electricity in the state. Mm-hmm.
Let's take a phone call here. Tracy is with us from Dodgeville. Tracy, go ahead. You're on the air.
I agree with doing impact study on wind power, but my concern is why Governor Walker is all of a sudden wants his impact study on wind power when he didn't do an impact study on frac sand mining.
Yeah, of all the things we were going to study, he picked wind power. I think a lot of people would like to see more science on the frac sand mining thing, but I don't know if you want to get into that discussion.
Well, I would just say, yes, frac sand mining has been an issue. Of course, the Gogebic, the proposed iron mine in northern Wisconsin is a concern. And at least some people I know on your webpage have said we're currently eliminating science positions from the Department of Natural Resources, which is going to make it harder to address many of these kinds of questions, whether it's frac sand mining, groundwater. There's a lot of concern in rural areas of the state about groundwater quality from dairy farms. So there are many other issues that could be studied, and I understand the skepticism. We've had a fairly polarized political climate in the state, and the recent budget proposals, obviously in education and the UW system, have sparked a lot of controversy. And here, too, the question is, well, why in a budget where we're cutting so much do we suddenly have money to study one particular issue while we're eliminating science positions, which will make the DNR less able to address a host of concerns? Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing that the governor and his administration thought it was necessary to respond to this particular issue because of the Brown County Health Department position, the controversy over the Shirley wind farms. And we don't know whether the legislature will approve this. Of course, this is in Governor Walker's budget proposal to the legislature. In the next few weeks and months, the legislature will be reviewing every item in that budget. Maybe they will decide not to fund the study, or maybe they'll funded at a higher level so it can be a more definitive study.
How does wind energy affect property values of the people whose land is being used?
Well, yeah, I'm glad you raised that, because that's another concern. I understand it's difficult to study, as I indicated, the health effects of wind power. But there's another concern. Some people have said because of the perception that there are serious health effects, that had to leave their homes. Others have said because of the perception that there's a problem living near wind turbines, the property values have gone down of their homes. To the extent that these are real issues, then the people proposing wind turbines ought to be prepared to take action that doesn't result in property value decline or to compensate those people who have suffered such a decline. You know, it's typical when a wind turbine is located on private property, generally farmland, the owner of the property receives compensation, just as we do with cell towers that are placed on private land. But to my knowledge, the neighbors receive nothing. There could be a different kind of compensation where not only the owner of the land, but those within, say, a mile or two of that turbine or cell tower also get some compensation, and that would be up to the wind farm developer to determine a suitable level given people's concerns, given the noise, the flicker, the visibility issues, the possible property value decline. And I think that can be, that could be written in the state law as part of the siting of wind farms, that compensation ought to be a factor for those neighbors who are within a certain distance and have a legitimate claim to such compensation.
800-642-1234, the number to call to get in on our discussion. We're talking with Michael Kraft about the future of wind power in Wisconsin. Governor Walker has proposed a $250,000 study to determine the health effects of wind energy. That's where the discussion started. Doesn't need to be where it ends. 800-642-1234, talk at WPR.org, or post your comment or question to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. 800-642-1234. Are there other economic implications for wind power? What could it do to the state economy as a whole? Let's say we made an investment like the one they made in Iowa or Texas, ironically enough, is a place where they have made a major investment in wind power. What could what would the possible economic impact be if Wisconsin really got into the wind power game?
Well, I can't cite specific numbers, but I think it would be substantial, as I mentioned. In Iowa, we're talking about a roughly $10 billion investment that is creating thousands of jobs and also providing compensation, as we were just talking about, compensation to landowners. You know, Wisconsin, this was an issue that came up quite a bit during the gubernatorial campaign as to whether Wisconsin is equal to Midwestern states or lagging. And I think we are now enjoying a nationwide economic recovery, at least modest to good proportions. My sense is Wisconsin, and I think the figures would support this, is still lagging the country and lagging the Midwest. So here's a way of injecting more money into the state's economy through economic development, in this case manufacturing and building and locating and operating wind turbines that would generate additional electricity, which would help the state in dealing with, as I noted earlier, the new EPA clean power rules. The governor and others in the state are concerned that that would have an adverse economic impact on the state, but that impact could be negated if we simultaneously invested in wind power. And as I noted, the EPA is allowing states that would have trouble moving away from coal to further develop renewable energy sources. That is one of the options states have over the next decade or so. So I think it would help the economy, would help help the state meet the new EPA standards for clean power. It would provide jobs. It would generate clean energy for the state, which would be long-lasting. This is a state where we have manufacturing capacity to actually build the turbines as well. You know, wind turbines are not—they're such large structures. You don't want to build them and ship them across the country. So this would very much be a local manufacturing enterprise, and then you have the operation and maintenance of the turbine, which is where the thousands of jobs come from. So many states have done this. California, most notably, and going back decades, has massive wind farms in remote areas. There are proposals for additional structures, particularly to provide electricity to the Los Angeles area. I would hate to see Wisconsin miss out on this kind of economic development opportunity. And clearly, you know, Minnesota and Iowa, Kansas, So Iowa, Illinois, Kansas in particular, and the one study I'm looking at, they're among the top five states in the nation in terms of wind-related employment. Wisconsin is not among them.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a call from Brent in Montfort next. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Hey, I was just going to comment. Montfort has had windmills since, I believe, 2001, and growing up there, I guess I don't understand the issue with them being an eyesore, or I've never heard anyone complain about the noise. People might stop and spend a little money in Montfort driving on Highway 18, and farmers are paid to put them up on their land, so I guess I think it's been a win-win.
Brent, thanks for that call. Professor?
Yeah, so I suspect what Brent indicated is the prevailing response across the state and across the country. As I said, there are isolated areas, and Brown County is clearly one, where local residents have had a distinctly different reaction. And it's not so much the visibility, that, and maybe that is fading a bit as an issue. The concern clearly is noise, vibration, flicker, and people sense that there is an impact on their health, increased stress, increased anxiety, maybe even more particular health effects. Mm-hmm. But in other areas around the country, and particularly in California, there have been almost no concerns about the visibility. People actually come to like seeing the wind turbines, and they very much like the fact that it's a pollution-free source. And helps the state avoid burning more fossil fuels. So I think Brent is correct. In many areas, there really haven't been any concerns, and people might be puzzled why we need yet another study of the health effects. But if we need such a study for those to definitively answer, as I said earlier, it's not easy to do such a study, but if you can do it right and you can answer definitively that either that there are or are not certain health effects, and that creates a basis for trying to avoid those health effects in the design and location of wind power, then we ought to do such a study. I'm simply skeptical that the amount the governor has budgeted will do that, particularly with a one-year study.
Brent, thanks for the call. Let's get another quick call in before the news, and we were about 2 minutes away from our next news break. Edwin in Stratford, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, I've just installed a 10-kilowatt solar system, and I'm trying to get into the wind power. And comparatively, it's still kind of expensive. I mean, the solar system's $20,000 for a 10-kilowatt, and a 5-kilowatt wind tower is about $15,000, $20,000 yet. So I was looking for information and what other things you had on it.
And about a minute, Professor, before we have to go.
Sure. I'm glad Edwin raised that issue. I can't give you the pictures on, you have to talk to a solar wind power engineer. There are small-scale turbines for individual farms or residences if you live in an area where you can put them up. But more broadly, we have from time to time had significant federal and state subsidies for renewable energy, wind and solar.
Professor, we're having a really serious problem with your phone line, which we need to get fixed. So,
okay.
Let's do that in the background while I let people know what we're doing here and give them a chance to get involved. And then we'll have some news headlines, and hopefully we'll have your phone line cleared up by the time we need it again. But let's hold that. Edwin in Stratford is trying to install wind power on his farm right now, but there seems to be a lack of resources to help him do that. That's one of the things we're discussing. We're talking about the future of wind power in Wisconsin. The most recent state budget from Governor Walker includes a $250,000 study to determine the health effects of wind energy, according to, as he says, inform future wind energy projects. We're talking about that this morning here on the Joy Cardine program. 800-642-1234, the number to call to join the discussion. You can also find the Joy Cardine Show on Facebook and Twitter and leave your comment or question for Professor Kraft there, and we'll be happy to share it with our audience on the radio. Anyway, we're talking about wind power. You can join us, 800-642-1234. It's the Joy Cardine Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson, in for Joy Cardine today. We're talking about the future of wind power in Wisconsin on the Joy Cardine Show today. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. My guest is Michael Kraft, Professor Emeritus in the Department of Public and Environmental Affairs at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Well, Professor, we were talking about, well, there, a person called in, Edwin, called in, who was having trouble siting a wind tower on his farm because of the cost. Solar was a lot cheaper, and he said, where are the resources to help me out? And you were talking about that, but your phone line was kind of cutting in and out, so I don't think we heard you very well.
So we switched phones, and I hope this one is better.
Okay.
So what I was saying is that from time to time, and this goes back to the 1970s, the federal government has offered financial incentives for people to move towards renewable energy, but those incentives are never long-term. They tend to expire because Congress has not made a commitment to keeping those in place. And so at both the state level and federal level, I would say if we are serious about moving towards renewable energy, we need to develop a long-term subsidy that people can count on. You know, some might say, well, why do we have to subsidize it at all? Just let the free market work. And I would say we have no free market in energy. Every energy source we have, from nuclear power to coal to natural gas, is subsidized in one way or the other. And renewable energy has had a tough time getting going, particularly for individual purchasers, because the subsidies come and go with no reliability. If we fix that so people could count on this, they could plan ahead for a year or two and say, this is definitely what I want to do. Plus, it seems to me that the government could help a bit here, helping the private market develop new technologies. Particularly, Edwin was concerned about a small-scale wind turbine for his farm, and I think with a little bit of incentive that the government can sponsor research to help develop new wind turbine technologies for people who live in rural areas, this would be feasible. We're not going to put up wind turbines in the suburbs and in downtown areas, but for rural areas, this might be a reliable way to generate energy, where solar is a possibility, though it's somewhat limited by both the climate up here and the tree cover, which may make it hard for the solar panels to get enough direct sunlight.
Let's take a quick call from Tom in Cedarburg. Tom, good morning.
Hi, John. You do a good job when you're on the air.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I live within about a half hour of a couple large fields of these 400-foot beasts. I'm not for them. The ones that are near me were put up by the state of Illinois to meet some standard that they had to meet. And we have Illinois crews that come out and work on them. No Wisconsin people. You can see it on their trucks. So there's no Wisconsin people making money here. And I don't believe there's many parts that were ever made that are in those machines that were made from Wisconsin. And if anything, I hear that the trend is going to overseas a manufacturer of these huge structures. The farmers like it, that's true, because they get $5,000 an acre for it. But the people who live near them, their land values have plummeted. Also, I'd like to say I'm a nature lover, and I know that there's been studies that have shown and proven that millions of birds have been killed, and a lot of wild birds, because of these structures. And it amazes me that people who are for nature are for these things also. And the cost to them to maintain them and put them up, it takes like 10 years to come back to running them to actually come up to making money on them. So I'm definitely not for them. And I think it's solar has some value, I think, but, you know, for people's health, For actually people in Wisconsin making money on them, you know, as far as manufacturing, I think there may be a few small things that are made, but
okay.
As a whole, there's not. And
okay.
Around me, it's not Wisconsin people who are working on them.
All right, Tim, we get it. Thank you. Professor Kraft?
Yes, well, I think there's some legitimate concerns expressed here. One is, as I noted, some of these turbines are very large, 400 feet or so. I don't know about the particulars of the facility in Cedarburg. It's certainly possible that the state of Illinois built some farms in Wisconsin, and that could have been some time ago. But what we're talking about, or have been talking about, is that wind turbines could be manufactured, operated, and maintained by Wisconsin workers, and that would be an economic benefit. And remember, we're talking about a private investment. That is, private wind farm developers make the decision about whether it economically pays to do this or not. and then they in turn would sell the electricity to one of the utilities, or the utility itself might invest in the land. So I don't think they would be doing it if it weren't profitable for them as an investment. And the siting guidelines and the other particulars that the state applies would make some difference in whether this is feasible. As I noted, every study I've seen in the last few years says that wind power is now economically competitive with coal-fired power plants. So it may be that in some areas and some older facilities were expensive, but today the public utilities in the state and the private utilities have argued that wind power is competitive. That is why they're interested. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Nobody would be building the wind farms if they weren't economically feasible. And I really do think there is a could be a very strong economic impact in the state. We've seen that in Minnesota and Iowa and Illinois. And if the other states are moving to 20 and 25% of their electricity coming from wind power with comparable geographic locales, I don't know why Wisconsin couldn't do much the same.
So what's wrong with Walker embarking on this study, even if it's not as thorough as you think it should be?
Well, I think what's wrong with it, first of all, is that in a budget where we have scarce resources, it's spending $250,000 on a study that, if not done well, is not going to help us. As I noted when we first started this conversation, there have been studies in Canada and Australia. I just read the summary of the Australia report this morning, and it does say there's poor quality of the current evidence. Many studies had poor participation rates and could have biased the results. So I do agree we need a definitive study of the public health impact, but I'm not sure, from what I can tell about the study the governor is proposing, whether that would do it, particularly given that it's to be completed and submitted in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
So, and like others, I'm also a bit skeptical that the governor is going to seriously consider in an objective way a study that runs counter to his own preferences for fossil fuels.
We had a Facebook post from Janine who asks, are there any studies on the effects of wind power on cattle?
On cattle.
A lot of these wind turbines are located on farmland,
right,
do we know if
right.
they affect cattle at all?
I imagine there have been some studies. Here again, I would question whether they meet the expectations for scientific studies that we would have for good peer-reviewed studies. Some listeners may recall there was a comparable concern a number of years ago about high-voltage power lines and the impact on farm animals. And here again, a lot of people believe there is an impact, but the studies have not generally supported that. Of course, it's as one of your callers pointed out, it's the farmers themselves who decide they're going to locate the wind. You know, they're agreeable to putting the wind turbines on their farms, and they are compensated for that. If they thought this would have an adverse impact on their farm operations, on their farm animals, then I would guess they would not do it.
We are seeing energy utilities in Madison, Milwaukee propose extra surcharges for households and businesses with solar panels. A judge just ruled that they don't have justification for that. But what does this say about the ability to use renewable energy on a large scale in this state?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. It was something I had hoped would come up. There's been an effort in the state and around the country. It's kind of a backlash against renewable energy. I believe the utilities are now thinking that if individuals start putting up wind turbines and solar panels, this is going to undermine the economics of power generation. And so they're beginning to fight back and want to change the utility rate setting rules to make it more difficult for people to do that. I obviously, given my preferences, I think that a very bad idea. Renewable energies had to struggle over the years to develop. I think we're now on the verge of some technological revolutions that would allow us to move away from fossil fuels. I think the state of Wisconsin and other states ought to be encouraging that trend, not putting up obstacles to people who want to power their own homes with wind or solar or any other fuel. So I hope that all gets sorted out and we treat the development of renewable energy with support and not this kind of opposition.
Got about a minute and a half left, Professor Kraft. What can individuals do to increase reliance on wind power in Wisconsin?
Well, I think they can urge their utilities around the state to take serious interest in the development of wind power. As I noted, many already are because wind is competitive with coal. And I'll go back to another point I made, which is the state of Wisconsin is standing in opposition to the newly proposed EPA rules on coal-fired power plants. And the EPA has clearly said to states, we're going to let each state develop its own response over the next decade or decade and a half. And one way for every state to meet the new expectations, particularly if they're already heavily dependent on coal, as Wisconsin is to develop renewable energy. So if the EPA rules, in fact, survive this criticism and court challenge, Wisconsin will have to meet them. And one way to do that is to be more supportive of wind power. And if that means doing more studies about the public health impacts so that people are confident this is the way to go, then I say let's do that.
Are you optimistic about the future of wind power?
I am. I'm optimistic about the long-term future because I think this country and the world has no alternative but to move away from fossil fuels. And wind power is a terrific potential, but it's got to be done right. I'm hopeful that we'll have new turbine designs and new siting standards that will make people more accepting of wind power. And I think to say, well, let's just close it all down and rely on coal is absolutely the wrong direction in which to go.
Okay. Well, you know what? I think that's a good place to close our discussion, besides which we're out of time. So,
okay. Well, thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you, Professor Kraft. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
All right.
Michael Kraft is a professor emeritus at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay in the Department of Public and Environmental Affairs. And if you want to listen to this program again, you can go to our website, WPR.org, navigate over to the Joy Cardine Show, and the audio should be there sometime later today. Tomorrow at this time, it's your chance to tell me where to go, and we'll explore chocolate. If I could give you free samples over the radio, believe me, I would. This hour's programming was produced by Kayla Blado, and she also handled on-air production as well. Christy Taylor provided direction, and I always need a lot of that. I'm John Munson, in for Joy Cardine on The Joy Cardine Show. Stick around. We're going to talk about President Obama's request for war powers to fight against the Islamic State. That's coming up after the news. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.